You may be seated. Please turn with me now in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 3. 2 Samuel chapter 3, we're going to pick up our reading this morning at verse 22, and we'll be reading through the end of the chapter, 2 Samuel 3, verses 22 through 39. I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we make our way through this passage together this morning. And as we give our attention to God's Word, let us be mindful that it is exactly that, God's own Word to us, written to us for our good and for our benefit. And so let us give our full attention to God's own Word, picking up our reading at 2 Samuel 3 and verse 22. Just then the servants of David arrived with Joab from a raid, bringing much spoil with them. But Abner was not with David at Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he had gone in peace. When Joab and all the army that was with him came, it was told Joab, "Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king, and he has let him go, and he is gone in peace." Then Joab went to the king and said, "What have you done? Behold, Abner came to you. Why is it that you have sent him away so that he is gone? You know that Abner, the son of Ner, came to deceive you, and to know you're going out and you're coming in, and to know all that you are doing." When Joab came out from David's presence, he sent messengers after Abner, and they brought him back from the cistern of Sirah. But David did not know about it. And when Abner returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside into the midst of the gate to speak with him privately. And there he struck him in the stomach so that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. Afterward, when David heard of it, he said, "I and my kingdom are forever guiltless before the Lord for the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. May it fall upon the head of Joab and upon all his father's house, and may the house of Joab never be without one who has a discharge, or who is leprous, or who holds a spindle, or who falls by the sword, or who lacks bread." So Joab and Abishai, his brother, killed Abner, because he had put their brother Asahel to death in the battle at Gibeon. Then David said to Joab and to all the people who were with him, "Tear your clothes and put on sackcloth and mourn before Abner." And King David followed the bier. They buried Abner at Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented for Abner, saying, "Should Abner die as a fool dies? Your hands were not bound, your feet were not fettered. As one falls before the wicked, you have fallen." And all the people wept again over him. Then all the people came to persuade David to eat bread while it was yet day. But David swore, saying, "God do so to me and more also if I taste bread or anything else till the sun goes down." And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as everything that the king did pleased all the people. So all the people and all Israel understood that day that it had not been the king's will to put to death Abner, the son of Ner. And the king said to his servants, "Do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel? And I was gentle today, though anointed king. These men, the sons of Zeruiah, are more severe than I. The Lord repay the evildoer according to his wickedness." So far, the reading of God's own word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Well, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, you may recall that our passage last Lord's Day ended in peace. Abner, the former general of Saul's army, had come to David. David, who had been anointed as king over the tribe of Judah, and David received him. David had forgiven Abner his trespasses against him. The anointed of the Lord had welcomed Abner into his courts. The king had set a place for Abner at his table, and Abner was sent on his way in peace. Well, our passage this morning reveals to us one who is still at war. You notice the way our text begins in verses 22 and 23. Just after Abner has left David's presence in peace, the servants of David arrived with Joab from a raid, bringing much spoil with them. But Abner was not with David at Hebron, for he had sent him away and he had gone in peace. When Joab and all the army that was with him came, it was told Joab, "Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king, and he has let him go, and he has gone in peace." So even as Abner is now making his way away from David, going away from him in peace, Joab is now coming to David, returning from what Joab does best, fighting battles, plundering the enemy, bringing spoils to the king. You see, Joab is an obedient servant to David. He does all that David asks of him and more. He follows the orders of his king. But now, much to his chagrin, as he returns, he learns that Abner had come to the king, that the king had received him, had let him go, and had let him go in peace. Well, this is too much for Abner, or for Joab. Joab knows Abner. Joab knows that Abner has been the commander of Saul's army. Joab knows that Abner poses the greatest threat to his own military position. If there was any man in all of Israel who could take Joab's position, it was Abner. And so as Joab hears this report of Abner's coming to David and being received by David and going forth from David in peace, Joab's heart begins to seethe within him. Indeed, in many ways, Joab appears here like the older brother of the prodigal son. Joab has served David obediently. He has done all that David commanded him to do. But now along comes this prodigal Abner, who had caused great injury and hurt to David. And what does David do? He forgives him. He welcomes him. He throws a feast for him. And he lets him go in peace. Well, for Joab, this was just adding insult to injury. Because not only was Abner a threat to Joab's own position, it was Abner, you may recall, who had killed Joab's brother Asahel in the battle at Gibeon. And here's David now welcoming the murderer of his brother and sending him on his way in peace. And so here is Joab. You can almost feel the anger rising within his heart. He is fueled by his jealousy, by his envy, by his bitterness, by his rage, by his desire for revenge. And if we're honest with ourselves, we can relate to Joab. We know what it is to be jealous, to be envious, to harbor anger and grudges in our hearts. We know the desire for revenge. Maybe you've been passed over for a job promotion, one that you thought you deserved and someone else got it. Maybe an enemy has been treated well. Boys and girls, maybe there's someone who got an award that you thought you deserved and yet they got it and you're envious, you're bitter. Indeed, there is a Joab in all of us. His heart is not unlike ours. It's not unlike yours or mine. And certainly it is out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. And so listen to what Joab says as he comes to the king in verses 24 and 25. He comes to David and says, "What have you done? Behold, Abner came to you. Why is it that you have sent him away so that he's gone? You know that Abner, the son of Ner, came to deceive you, to know you're going out and you're coming in and to know all that you are doing." Joab here simply can't understand David. He can't understand the ways of David with Abner. He can't understand the mercy of the king. He can't understand the grace of the king. And so he rebukes David. He rebukes the king for his mercy, for his grace, for his forgiveness, for giving peace to a rebel and an enemy, for throwing a feast for him. Joab can't understand it. And so he brings slanderous accusations against Abner, accusing Abner of deceiving David. Joab clearly hates Abner. He cannot view Abner with any charity at all. He reads Abner in the very worst light possible. Joab is not a peacemaker. In fact, as Joab accuses Abner here of deception, Joab calls unclean what the king has called clean. Joab calls guilty what the king has declared not guilty. Joab wants war where the king has proclaimed peace. There is no joy in Joab's heart over Abner's coming to the king. There is no rejoicing over the power of forgiveness, no celebration of the mercy of the king in receiving an enemy in peace. Joab would never kill the fatted calf for Abner. Joab would never prepare a feast for Abner. Joab would never sit down at the table with Abner. Joab would never be at peace with Abner. He will not let go of his grudge. He will not put away his desire for revenge. He is intent on repaying evil with evil. His heart is hard and his words are filled with venom. And notice, David says nothing in return. The king says nothing. The shepherd doesn't defend the sheep. He doesn't answer the accusations of Joab against Abner. He holds his peace. He says nothing. And you notice what happens next, verses 26 and 27. When Joab came out from David's presence, he sent messengers after Abner, and they brought him back from the cistern of Sirah, but David did not know about it. And when Abner returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside into the midst of the gate to speak with him privately, and there he struck him in the stomach so that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. Joab left the presence of the king, and unbeknownst to the king, he sent messengers after Abner. David doesn't know about this. He doesn't know what Joab is doing. Notice this. Joab is deliberately now deceiving the king. He's doing the very thing he accused Abner of doing. He deceives the king and sends messengers after Abner. Remember, this was a time of peace for Abner and David. That's underscored in verses 21, 22, and 23. There was peace between David the king and Abner. And yet here in the midst of peace, Joab plots war. Sends messengers after Abner, and Abner receives those messengers and returns to Hebron. Now why would Abner do that? Why would he come back? Well, for two reasons. Number one, he was at peace with the king. David had forgiven him. David had pardoned him. David had welcomed him. David had thrown a feast for him. David had sent him on his way in peace. And so Abner had entrusted himself to the king. He had entrusted himself to the king's protection. He had trusted the word of the king. The second reason he returned is that he was returning to Hebron. And Hebron was an important place for two reasons. It was the place of David's throne, and it was also a city of refuge. It was a place of safety for the manslayer, a place of safety from vengeance and revenge. And so Abner had good reason to return to Hebron. He thought he was under the protection of the king. He had the word of the king that there was peace, and he was returning to the place of David's throne and returning to a city of refuge. And yet it's here near the throne of David in the city of refuge that Joab murders Abner. And notice where he does so. He does so at the gate. It's not insignificant. The gate was the place where matters of justice were settled. And here Joab then is taking justice literally into his own hands. He stands as prosecutor, as judge, and executioner. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says Joab. Joab would not give his enemy food. Joab would not give his enemy drink. Joab would only give his enemy the sword. And notice where he plunges it. In Abner's stomach. That's where Joab's brother Asahel had been killed as well. This is clearly an act of revenge. Intentional, deliberate revenge. And David failed to prevent it. While David did not defend Abner, remember, he was silent against the accusations of Joab. Notice how quickly David defended himself. Verses 28 and 29. Afterward, when David heard of it, he said, I and my kingdom are forever guiltless before the Lord for the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. May it fall upon the head of Joab and upon all his father's house. And may the house of Joab never be without one who has a discharge or who is leprous or who holds a spindle or who falls by the sword or who lacks bread. You see what David is doing here. He is distancing himself from Joab. He calls down a curse upon Joab's head. He had welcomed Abner with peace. He now pronounces a curse upon Joab. And then we're given a summary statement there in verse 30 that it was Joab and Abishai, his brother, who killed Abner because he had put their brother Asahel to death in the battle at Gibeon. Abner had spent years seeking David's life, and yet by God's grace, David was able to forgive Abner all those wrongs against him. Abner had killed Joab's brother in battle in self-defense, and yet Joab could never forget, nor could he forgive. The way of peace, Joab does not know. There is much distance then between David and Joab. David is a peacemaker. Joab harbors war in his heart. And we see the outworking of this tragic and senseless murder in the verses that follow as we are brought to a funeral. Look at verse 31. David said to Joab and to all the people who were with him, "Tear your clothes and put on sackcloth and mourn before Abner." And King David followed the bier. Again, David distances himself from Joab. While Joab and all the people are to tear their clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourn before Abner, we read that David himself follows after the bier. There is literally a separation, a distance between Joab and David. Boys and girls, do you know what a funeral bier is? It was a stand or a frame on which a coffin would be placed as it was brought through the city streets to its burial place. And so you can picture the scene there. There is Joab and all the people walking with torn clothes and sackcloth in front of that funeral bier, while David himself walks behind that funeral bier. There is great distance between them. Notice something else in verse 31. Notice what David is called. King David. It's the very first time in Scripture where he is called King David. And it's significant, I think, that he is called King David for the first time, as he bears the griefs and carries the sorrows of his people, as he enters into their suffering, their grief, and their weeping. Well, they make their way to the cemetery there in Hebron. Look at verses 32 and following. They buried Abner at Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner. And all the people wept, and the king lamented for Abner, saying, "Should Abner die as a fool dies? Your hands were not bound, your feet were not fettered. As one falls before the wicked, you have fallen." And all the people wept again over him. With much weeping, with many tears, Abner was buried at Hebron, buried at the city of the king, buried in the place where the patriarchs of old had been buried. Though David could not keep Abner from death, he honors Abner in death, giving him an honorable funeral. And there is King David himself weeping at the grave, even singing a song of lament. Abner should not have died as a fool. And the word fool there is the same word that was used of Nabal several chapters ago. You remember Nabal, that fool whom God struck down. David says that Abner didn't deserve a death like that. Abner had shown repentance. Abner had been welcomed by the king. And though there was a time when Abner was certainly deserving of his hands being bound and his feet being fettered, after all, for a time, he had set himself against the Lord and against the Lord's anointed. But he had been forgiven. He'd been pardoned. The king had given him a word of peace. And so he should not have fallen before the wicked. Well, as the funeral comes to its close, all the people, verse 35, come to David and persuade him to eat bread while it was yet day. And David swore, saying, "God do so to me and more also if I taste bread or anything else till the sun goes down." And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as everything that the king did pleased all the people. So all the people and all Israel understood that day that it had not been the king's will to put to death Abner, the son of Ner. What a contrast this is to the way in which David had received Abner not that long ago. He had thrown a feast for him. He'd eaten with him. But now he fasts as Abner is dead. And all the people took note, and all the people were pleased, and all the people knew that it was not the king's will to put Abner to death. And yet, while all the people knew that, David himself seems to understand something of his own failures. Recognizes that he didn't defend Abner from the accusations of Joab, that he didn't stand up to defend Abner when he should have. Recognizes that he didn't keep Abner from death. Recognizes that his word of peace to Abner was not enough to keep Abner. And so look at what David says now to his servants in his own home, verses 38 and 39. "Do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel? And I was gentle today, though anointed king. These men, the sons of Zeruiah, are more severe than I. The Lord repay the evildoer according to his wickedness." David calls Abner a prince and a great man. Truly, David had forgiven Abner all those wrongs against him. And here you find David seeing Abner with grace, seeing Abner in the best light, grieving over what has been lost. And then David contrasts himself with Joab. He calls himself gentle, though anointed as king. He calls the sons of Zeruiah severe and evildoers and says that the Lord will repay them according to their wickedness. But notice, David doesn't repay them. He doesn't execute any justice upon them, upon Joab or Abishai. David here is confessing his own weakness, his own sin. He recognizes he's not dealt with Joab as he should have dealt with him. We sang a few moments ago from Psalm 101, one of the Psalms of David, and I wanted to sing of that because It points a great contrast to what's going on in our passage. Let me read Psalm 101 with you, a psalm of David. David says in that psalm, "I will sing of steadfast love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will make music. I will ponder the way that is blameless. O, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil." And then notice these words, "Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure. I will look with favor on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in the way that is blameless shall minister to me. No one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house. No one who utters lies shall continue before my eyes. Morning by morning I will destroy all the wicked in the land, cutting off all evildoers from the city of the Lord." David has failed to do these very things. Joab had slandered his neighbor, and David did not destroy him. Joab has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, but David is all too willing to endure him. David says in Psalm 101, "I will look with favor on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me." Well, he looked with favor on Abner, but Abner's dead. David said in that psalm, "No one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house. No one who utters lies shall continue before my eyes." Yet Joab is standing here at the end of the passage, and David's done nothing. David says, "Morning by morning I will destroy all the wicked in the land." And yet, Joab will live to see another day. You see, David has failed in the very things of which he sings in Psalm 101. Joab had brought slanderous accusations against Abner. He had called unclean what David had called clean. He had declared guilty what the king had declared not guilty. He had sought war when the king had said there was peace. And David failed to answer. David's word concerning Abner was not enough to keep him. Joab murdered David's friend. Joab killed a sheep of David's fold. Joab murdered a citizen of David's kingdom. And David failed not only to defend him, not only to keep him, he failed to prosecute Joab. All David did was weep, cry, lament, and follow behind the bier, the funeral bier. It's an indication of David's weakness. You may recall that passage last week when the wife of Peltiel, Michal, the daughter of Saul, was taken from him. And what did Peltiel do? He followed behind, weeping and crying. But he couldn't do anything. And here's David following behind the funeral bier of Abner, weeping and crying, but not doing anything. There is much good in David, to be sure. He has spoken words of kindness, words of grace to Abner. But there's also weakness in David and a failure here to defend his own sheep. And this will stay with David for the rest of his life. In one of his final acts, as he talks to Solomon in the opening chapters of 1 Kings, he will tell Solomon to not let Joab's head go down to the grave in peace. And Solomon will issue the decree. And Joab will be put to death. And we're told that Joab is put to death because he murdered a man more righteous than he. So our text ends with the funeral of Abner, a man more righteous than the one who killed him. And it ends with David doing nothing except weeping and calling down curses and putting a distance between himself and Joab. But ultimately not prosecuting Joab for this grave injustice. It's a sad ending. A sheep has been murdered in large measure because the shepherd failed. The shepherd failed to answer the accusations against his sheep. The shepherd failed to protect his sheep. The shepherd failed to lay down his life for the sheep. The shepherd failed to prosecute the wolf who killed his sheep. It's a sad funeral. Even the shepherd weeps at this funeral. So where do we go from here? What do we do with this? Well, we need to look to a better shepherd, don't we? We need to look to a better king. A shepherd king who is not only gracious and kind and merciful to those who repent and come to him, but a shepherd king who answers every accusation against his sheep. A shepherd king who protects and keeps his sheep. A shepherd king who lays down his life for his sheep. You see, this funeral ends ultimately by pointing us to Christ. It's where every funeral should end. Because we have no other hope than Christ. Christ never fails in defending his sheep. Christ answers every accusation against his sheep. In fact, when he enters heaven in his ascension, he casts Satan, the great accuser of the brethren, he casts him out of heaven forever. Never again does Satan have access into heaven. Never again can Satan accuse any of Christ's sheep before the throne. Christ will have none of it because he has answered every charge against all the elect of God. He's answered every charge against every sheep entrusted to his care. Before the throne of God above, we have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for us. You see, beloved, Christ will not allow those whom he has called clean to be called unclean. Your shepherd has said you are not guilty. He will never allow you to be charged with guilt. Your king has welcomed you in peace. He will not allow Satan to charge you with anything that would take that peace away. Beloved, Christ has answered every charge against you. Christ doesn't give you the promise of peace and then fail to defend you. Christ doesn't forgive you and then fail to keep you. Christ doesn't speak peace to you and then fail to hold on to you. He is your defense. He's your shield. He's your refuge. He is your peace. Can you imagine what it was like for Abner in the moments of his death? He thought he was at peace with the king. He had believed the word of the king. He had entrusted his safety, his security, his very life to the king. And now in those last few moments, he knew the king had failed him. And he died in that knowledge. It'd be like the thief on the cross hearing the word of Jesus, "Today you will be with me in paradise," only to wake up in hell. Beloved, you need to know this. Your king will never fail you. Your king will never be reduced to a weeping king who failed to hold on to you. Your king is not like David here, weeping behind your funeral bier when you die, singing songs of lament. No, your king has gone to the grave for you. He died for you. He bore your griefs and carried your sorrows. He conquered death for you. He left you with an empty tomb. He's made you more than a conqueror through death. He sings with you now the song of triumph, and your king will one day wipe away every tear from your eyes. His word does not fail. And so what are we to do? We're to cast ourselves upon the King, trusting that indeed His word is true, His word is faithful. You will find forgiveness with Him. You will find welcome with Him. You will find peace with Him. He will answer every accusation against you, and His promise is that He will hold on to you, that He will keep you, that nothing can separate you from Him, not even death. Not a single sheep of His flock will ever be left in the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus will never, never fail you. His word to you today is the word of the gospel. Go in peace. Go in peace. Jesus' word will never fail you, because it's the word of the King, and He's a King who has never failed a single one of His sheep, and who will never fail a single one of His sheep. So rest today and always in the word of your King, who says to you, peace. Amen. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, our God, we are so thankful for your word. So thankful that we can look even to a story like that of the thief on the cross, knowing that he did not wake up in hell, but woke up in heaven. Because the word of Jesus is true. And it's a word that keeps us always. Father, you know the accusations that are brought against us. You know the accusations of our own hearts, our own consciences against us. Our own consciences bear witness that we have sinned against you, that we have never kept any of your commands, and yet you are greater than our hearts, and you know what you have said concerning us. And you've said not guilty. You've said forgiven. You've said welcome. You've said peace. Lord, we pray that you would give each one of us here that peace that passes all understanding. That peace that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. May we know that we belong to a King whose word is true. A King whose promise is true. A King who has promised to defend us, to keep us, to hold on to us, to never, never let us go. A King who has said to us, go in peace. Help us to rest in Him and to find peace for our souls in Him. We ask all of this in His precious name.